This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Philip and Chuang. We're turning our attention now, though, to the one-year anniversary of a rather unfortunate incident. It's been 1 year since the world was shocked by images of rioters invading Capitol Hill, the seat of U.S. Congress, in an attempt to stop confirmation of President Joe Biden's election win. But what appears as a straightforward attempt at thwarting democracy to outsiders is less clear-cut to a politically polarized American public.
President Biden delivered an address a few hours ago in which he criticized his predecessor for instigating his supporters to storm Congress. Former President Trump has denied any responsibility for the event, though, and responded angrily to Biden's speech. He is currently being investigated by a special legislative committee over his role in the event, but he has yet to be charged with any crimes, as well as any previous attempts to have him impeached have also failed.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden is battling multiple crises, both domestically and internationally, from economic setbacks due to Omicron, high inflation, and failure to pass the Build Back Better stimulus bill, to growing tensions with Russia and China. So what does all this spell for Biden and the Democrats' chances at the ballot box during the midterm elections in November?
For analysis on the state of U.S. democracy and Biden's one-year scorecard, we speak to Mark J. Rozelle, Dean at the Schar School of Policy and Government of the George Mason University. Mark, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So 1 year on from the event, is there public consensus on the nature of what happened during the Capitol Hill riots? I mean, Joe Biden criticized President Trump very heavily earlier, but is there agreement that this was an insurrection against the Institute of Government?
There is not agreement, which is quite striking because everybody can see the images of what happened on January 6th of last year. But because of the polarization of American politics, Democrats see January 6th, 2021, one way. Republicans see it very, very differently. And that continues to bedevil our democracy right now, that we cannot even have a basic agreement or consensus as to what happened on that day and come to some conclusion as to what we should do going forward about it.
Mark, what's been the main challenge in holding those responsible for the riots accountable?
It's a very long and detailed process. The Department of Justice is doing a more extensive investigation than any in the history of the United States. Literally several hundred people are going to be charged with various crimes as a result of the attack on the Capitol 1 year ago today. But they are going through an enormous amount of videotape evidence and testimony, as well as social media postings by people who actually were proud of what they did and advertised it publicly. So it's just taking a long time. And I know it's frustrating to some who want to see justice be brought to bear with regard to what happened a year ago. But the wheels of justice are just going to have to turn rather slowly as the investigation is done and the evidence mounts up to the point where the Department of Justice feels it has a strong enough case to bring charges against even more of the insurrectionists.
Mark, can I just ask why it's been difficult to hold former President Trump accountable? I mean, there's been criticism of him from many sides, but yet it seems that it's hard to pin him down for his involvement in the event.
I believe that something will happen there eventually. And in fact, the Attorney General of the United States gave a talk a few days ago in which he intimated quite strongly that no one is separated from responsibility, no matter how high the position they have held for what happened on January 6th last year. And although he did not cite the former president by name, it was quite clear, I think, that the attorney general was saying that there are people in very high places who are not part of the attack itself, but who had a role in instigating it, and they are going to be held responsible. And everybody's reading from that Donald Trump. There's also legal investigations taking place with regard to alleged financial misdeeds of the Trump Organization. And then the January 6th committee in Congress, of course, is trying to uncover all of the facts and the extent of responsibility of the former president. And even today, there have been some additional revelations as to, for example, what the president was doing during those 3 hours when he had absolutely nothing to say to the country while the United States Capitol was being attacked.
I mean, I wonder what this means for the Republican Party, though.
Correct. It's not easy to say, because right now the Republican Party base, the most activist supporters of the party, are very much still supporting the former president of the United States, and he has a very strong hold on the Republican Party base. So you see very few Republicans willing to step forward and make a strong declarative statement about what happened a year ago today at the United States Capitol and condemn it and condemn those who are responsible for those events. They fear the political repercussions if they do so, that the Trump loyal base of the Republican Party will turn on them, that they will lose a primary when they run for re-election this year, and that ultimately they will lose their seat in Congress. So it's going to be hard to move beyond the Trump era, I think, at least in the short term. And for the midterm elections this year, most Republicans are going to be running as Trump loyalists.
Yeah, Mark, and that's why with some distress, some parts of the world are greeting news that Trump might make a return to the presidency, to the campaign trail, at least in 2024. What kind of factors would make his return to office, you know, likely?
I think he's planning on running, but all of these legal suits against the Trump Organization, the investigation that's being done by both the Congressional Committee and the one by the Department of Justice, I think may end up tying up the former president's hands and have a big impact on his ability even to seek public office again. We'll see what happens with all of these investigations. But right now, I don't see that there is any Republican nationally who can challenge him for the presidential nomination in year 2024. The nomination, I think, would be his if it were to be held today. So could he win a general election? I'm skeptical, but then again, I was skeptical in 2016, and look what happened then. So don't count him out.
Yeah, but you know, just listening to President Biden's speech, you know, he did come across as quite angry, some say even political and divisive. Do you think he's given up trying to unite this country?
Biden came to office pledging that he would be a unifier, try to move beyond the acrimony of the Trump era and the divisiveness of American politics, but I think that was a much too tall order to expect after 4 years of the Trump era that a new president could simply come in and move the country toward a very different framework politically just in the first year of his presidency. So he came to office with very high expectations. He had some role in setting those expectations as well. But I think the president of the United States, he's had enough. He's had enough of the lies. He's had enough of the unfounded challenges of the legitimacy of his election. He understands the profoundly important role that the former president played in stoking that violence at the United States Capitol a year ago. And here we are a year later, still arguing about it as though there are two different sides of an issue that can be legitimately discussed within the framework of how Democrats and Republicans normally differ with each other. So there was a certain frustration, I think, that did come out today with President Biden's speech. I have to say, by the way, it was quite a remarkable speech. Having followed and studied the presidency for years, there is a real norm in our system that presidents don't call out their predecessors, and predecessors give space to the new president to succeed. To have a president calling out his predecessor in such stark terms as Joe Biden did is just quite remarkable.
And I think that goes both ways, although I suppose it's less unexpected when the former president does it to the new president. We have about a minute, Mark, maybe very quickly. How would you assess President Joe Biden's first year in office? He is going to into the midterm elections this year, but overall, has he had more misses than hits in terms of his policy efforts?
In the public opinion polls, he certainly had more misses than hits. He's at a very low point in public approval right now. And, you know, look what happened in Afghanistan, rising inflation. The virus, of course, is out of control and unable to get the Build Back Better plan, the economic recovery plan, through Congress at this point. But keep in mind, he did have some remarkable achievements in his first year. The infrastructure bill, the COVID rescue plan. We've had record job growth in this country. We ramped up the vaccination rate in this country for the virus. And I think the president has had some success in restoring confidence in the United States as a reliable ally with some of our critical allies. So it's only the first year. The Biden presidency is a work in progress. Stay tuned. I think a lot more is going to happen in the next 3 years.
Mark, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Mark J. Rozelle, Dean at the Schar School of Policy and Government at the George Mason University, ending the conversation on U.S. politics with a stay tuned. Lots more to see here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.